This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Eun Teck. My guest today is Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Wishakaran, back for his monthly show on all things local government. So on this show, sometimes we stray a little bit off tangent, even though we say it's all things government. But this week, we're addressing something very or especially pertinent. It's about the financial allocation that each ADUN gets annually from the state government to carry out their duties. And so Rajiv, as the Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman for the past 4 years, coming up to five now since 2013, is uniquely qualified to talk about this issue. Rajiv, thank you very much for coming back on the show.
Hi, it's good to be back, and happy Chinese New Year to everyone.
So our lines are open, and if you have a question or like to join the conversation, give us a call at 03-7710-9000. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've also set up a Twitter poll on on our BFM Twitter. Radio Twitter account, yes. And if you are on Twitter or you have a Twitter account, do let us know what you think. The question is on there. We'll review the question and the results after the second half of the show. So, Rajiv, after that long setup, the financial allocation that each Selangor rep get. So I've read it's 800,000 per year because in January last month, the Selangor Pass Commissioner came out and said that because of the circumstance that the Pakatan government in Selangor find themselves in, they claim that their ADUNs have not received that allocation. We'll come back into what happened there later on, but let's try to understand what this allocation is for and how much it is in actuality. Is it 800,000?
Yes, it's 800,000 for a backbencher ADUN. It's a little more. It's 1.1 million for the EXCO members. And this funds is not given to us. It's actually parked at the district office. So all the nine district offices will take care of the funds for the respective ADUNs, and it's dispersed as per the ADUN's instruction, as long as the instruction is within the guidelines of dispersing these funds.
So all non-EXCO ADUNs are considered backbenchers?
Backbenchers and opposition members. So you've got three categories. You've got the government front, which is the EXCOs, the MB in the EXCOs, and you've got the backbenchers, those which are on the government party but not in the EXCO. And then you've got the opposition members. So you've got three categories in our British parliamentary system. So this is not unique to Selangor. This is, in fact, nearly the same around the world.
Okay. We'll come back to the opposition audience. Yes. What is the allocation for this 800,000? What are you expected to use it for?
So there are a few things that we can use it for. The first one, it's for the overheads of our offices. So our rent, utility bills, photostatic machine rental, and whatnot. The things that are related to running our offices, that's one. The second is for activities. They go under the category of measure I get. So whenever we do any activities, from big activities like, say, the coming Chinese New Year open house, to smaller activities like Gotong Royongs, we use these funds to carry out those activities. The third is to give to organizations, NGOs. So resident associations are supported from these kind of funds. NGOs are supported from these kind of funds. Even places of worship, temples, mosques, churches are supported from these funds. The next category would be to help with welfare cases. So these are for extraordinary circumstances, special cases, where the state assemblyman can then step in to help out financially. All right. And the other category that we have is, it's a new one. It's also to cover two special things. One is dengue, for efforts against dengue. And the other new category is to deal with the Scheme Peduli Sehat. Now, Scheme Peduli Sehat was launched last year. It's a scheme that gives a medical card to families earning 3,000 ringgit or less, or to senior citizens. Now, there's a huge amount of people signing up, and we were allowed to use this fund to facilitate. So we needed to hire some extra part-time staff to facilitate that. The last category is small projects. So small projects is used to be ranked 20,000 ringgit and below. Now it's 50,000 ringgit and below. So this can range from, let's say, fixing drains, fixing playgrounds, trimming trees, or just about any small project, as long as it's less than 50,000. So you can't do a big project. You can't build a day one with this money because it's just not enough. But you can do smaller projects. So that's an overview of what the money can be used for.
And what's the rationale for giving EXCO members more, that extra 300,000?
I think it's because EXCO members get far more demands, and especially from demands from outside their constituency. Most people will not expect an ADUN to solve problems or spend financially outside his or her constituency, but EXCO members have a larger coverage, a larger reach throughout the state. And so they may have a lot of requests coming, and they may need to fulfill some of those requests from outside their constituency.
And so are these guidelines, or are these the categories that you've mentioned, are these merely guidelines, or would your accounts be audited to make sure you adhere to certain ratios or quotas on how you spend that money?
The only ratio that there is the 30% of the budget is to be used for small projects, and not more than 72,000 ringgit for the office overheads. But the rest, it's, to the discretion of the ADUN. So the ADUN could actually choose to spend more money on welfare and less on programs, or less money on welfare and more money on programs. It's the prerogative of each and every ADUN to decide how it best serves the constituency. Because not all constituencies are the same. You've got 56 constituencies in Selangor. Some are very urban, some are very affluent, some are more rural, some are poorer, some are richer. I think the needs are different. So there's no hard and fast rule with regards to this. But there are just a few guidelines, such as the givings to associations or individuals should not exceed 10,000 ringgit per giving per year, and 30% for small projects. So these are some of the guidelines, but generally it's at the discretion.
72,000 per year max for the maintenance of an ADUN's office. That seems hardly enough just to cover rent alone, and you have to hire staff and officers to man the office. How do you make up the rest?
All right. So, like I mentioned, it's this is overheads. So you're talking about rent. So rent, in my case, I'm paying 1,900 ringgit rent. That's why you never see ADUN offices on the ground floor. They're always on the first floor, especially in urban areas. When you go a bit more rural, then you can have ADUN offices on the ground floor. But in urban settings, in PJ, all the ADUN offices are on the first floor. You've got rent, utility bills, your TNB, water, internet, and your other overhead expenses. So it can be met with that. Approximately 6,000 a month it comes up to. So yeah, it can be met with that. Buying office equipment and minor renovations, repairs to the office, upkeep of the office. So yeah, it can be met with that. Now, salaries of our staff is paid from the State Assembly office, and we have allocation for that. And so every ADUN has approximately 5 staff. So 3 staff minimum by the State Assembly office. And we've got 1 staff handling the Tuition Rakyat program and 1 staff handling the Women Affairs portfolio. So we've got 5 staff. These are paid for by the state. And we've got that 6,000 from a location that we can use for our overheads.
The State Assembly office is in the one in Shah Alam,
yes,
or
yes,
the service centre?
No, the State Assembly itself, yeah. Mm. So that disperses the money for the staff.
Who mans the service centres then?
Service centres are run by our staff. So my staff sit in the service centre, and I go in from time to time, and I'm there every week. But different times of the day, depending when my meetings and appointments are. Mm.
And that one, to get a bit pedantic about this, those staff are different from the ones in the ADUN office?
No, service centre and the ADUN office are same. Basically different names of the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is this allocation also extended to the opposition ADUNs in Selangor?
Now, in the case of Selangor, we are unique. We have extended a portion of this allocation to them. Now, in all other states in Malaysia and at the federal level, the opposition members get nothing. So our opposition members at Parliament, they get 0. Opposition members in Negeri Sembilan, Johor, Pahang, they get 0. They get zero such funds. But here in Selangor, what we have done is we've divided the funds into two. We have given a portion to the UMNO assemblymen, and they can use it for the same purposes that we can. And the other portion is given to a state government appointed coordinator for that constituency who would spend it, disperse that money to the local needs. But in protest or in defiance or for whatever reason, UMNO has decided that it will not disperse any of this money to the public. So they will not use the money and allocate them for the poor, for welfare cases, or for community events to support RAs, to support NGOs. They just refuse to. I think they were trying to make a point that we are not going to give it to you at the federal level, so we don't want to take it from you at the state level. So that's the best logic that we can. But the 72,000 for office overhead, that they freely use.
Right.
So they would take, they will use this allocation to cover their own office overheads, but they will not disperse the balance, the other funds that is available to help those who need welfare assistance, those community resident associations, community events that need some financial assistance, that they won't disperse. So,
for MPs and ADUNs in states where they do not receive allocation, where do they come up with the money to fund their office?
The fundraising, from public, from their salary, from doing fundraising, dinners, fundraising events, largely supported by members of the public. Mm. So that's how it is for our members of parliament at the federal level, because DAP, PKR MPs at the federal level, they don't get any such allocation from the federal government.
Right. I'm speaking today to Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishikaran. After the break, I'll ask him whether financial allocations like this helps the ADUN do their job, or is it a recipe or open invitation for abuse and corruption. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Untik. My guest today is Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishikaran. We're talking about the financial allocation that elected state reps receive annually to carry out their work. So we have a Twitter poll going on. The question is, do you think financial allocations like these help ADUNs do their job, or does it help facilitate corruption? So far, we have 62% that say it helps carry out their work, while 38% say maybe not so helpful. Rajiv, you gave a brief overview of how the allocation works and what its purpose is for.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think for something that comes up to about 65,000 a month, how did you use that money last year, and do you think it's enough?
Well, sometimes you can say you'll never have enough. The more you have, the more things you can do with it. So I'm content to make do with what I have and to work within that amount. As to how we use this money for myself in Bukit Gasing, a lot of it goes towards our own events. My office organizes a few big events every year, the Tang Long Festival, Chinese New Year Open House. In fact, we celebrate every festival. We also do a lot of smaller events. I think easily we do 25 to 30 events every year. And so that takes up a sizable portion of the money. And we contribute substantially to residents who do community events, not private events. So your private birthday party, we don't contribute. But if you're doing a neighborhood get-together, a fun walk, a gotong royong, then we help out financially. Mm-hmm. And this takes up the sizable amount of the donations. Of the locations.
And this is a case-by-case basis, or is it an open application process?
People know about this. Actually, you'd be surprised. A lot of people know about this, and every week we get in requests. So we can't fulfill all the requests. Some requests we have to turn down. Some requests we can only help partially. So I think one of the key criteria is, what is the impact on the community? We always want to see that. How does this bring the community together, and how does this impact the community positively? And how this event can or cannot proceed without the help. Because some events can proceed without much financial assistance, and some events are stuck. They will not be able to proceed without any assistance. So it's a case-by-case basis. And and we don't have a shortage of requests. So they just keep coming in every week.
Right. Our lines are open, so if you'd like to join this discussion, give us a call at 03-771-09000. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. You know, Rajiv, some of the activities that this money has been set aside for includes, as you mentioned, minor repairs or small development projects. Aren't these overlapping on the responsibilities of town councils, local councillors?
Yes, it does. The responsibility remains with municipal councils in most cases. That we do not deny and that we do not take away. In fact, whatever we do in collaboration and cooperation with them. But there are times that, you know, there are so much of requests coming in that the council cannot fulfill all of them. So the council can only work within their annual budget and they have to then decide which requests. So one example is playground upgrades. The number of requests by residents to upgrade equipment in playgrounds and to upgrade the parks is very high. There's just no way the council's annual budget can accommodate every single request. So sometimes you can, I mean, ADUNS can step in to say, okay, I'll use my allocation to fund this. And normally we work together with the council to get it done. So one case is this year. The landscape has already budgeted out. All the park upgrades is going to be able to do throughout PJ. And quite a number of them also within Bukit Gasing. But there was one outstanding request to put a big fence at one of the padangs in Section 5 because people play football and the ball tends to roll out of the padang into the road onto oncoming traffic. Mm-hmm. And that happens quite a bit. So the people there have been requesting for that, you know, the fence at the back of the goalpost. And I'm using my allocation as one of the small projects this year to get that up. So it's oftentimes working together. It's not contradicting or it's not challenging authority, but rather that complementing and working together. The Bomba Fire Station in PJ State, they had to do some repairs. It wasn't very expensive. It's just a few thousand ringgit. But they couldn't get an allocation from the headquarters to do some repairs for the station. So I contributed this. So this is nothing to do with MPPJ. This is to do with a different government department. But there was a real need. And we got it done frugally. And I was willing to use my allocation to help fulfill the need. We have also helped schools, but I shouldn't name the schools here because then the headmasters are going to get into trouble. But schools have been assisted using the allocation as and when there are a lot of dire needs that need to be fixed. So this is where the small project portion comes in. So it's not in contradiction with its respective departments doing it. So it's just a different way. It's just a different person that has a different pot to then make decisions because it's difficult decisions. There's always, when you talk about allocations, there's always too many requests versus the available funds. We are a developing country. We have a low tax base and the number of requests will always exceed the availability to fulfill it. So right now, by having this state assemblyman allocation, you've put decision-making maybe into, say, two hands. So MPPJ, in the case of PJ, MPPJ could say that, all right, with this amount of money we have, we're going to fulfill this 25 requests for park upgrades this year because that's the 25 that we pick to be the most in demand or most needed upgrades. And then the assemblyman can say, okay, so that 25 is from MPPJ's funds, then let's do another 3 more using the state assemblyman's funds. So it's a win-win situation.
And there's no way the Selangor MB or the Selangor government can channel this fund directly to MPPJ to remove one layer of
decision-making? They can. Then you'll have only one person making decisions. So by putting money into the state assemblyman's discretion, then you have two people making decisions. I think that can be helpful sometimes because different people have different priorities. And we're not talking about using this money to buy myself a car. That is not allowed and that is never done. But we're talking about, okay, deciding which is more important. Is upgrading the field more important? Is trimming the trees in this area more important? Is maybe funding drains in some drain repair works in a different area more important? So PJ, fortunately, we do not have much problems when it comes to, say, repair, maintenance works. But some of the smaller councils, they do. So council will say that, you know, I can't repair all the drains that have been reported in a year because we just don't have the money to do it. So we'll repair the top 70% more serious ones. The ADUN can then use these funds to select and repair a few others that are also needed, you mm-hmm. know. So it puts... I think it puts different perspective on spending government money. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, and it may actually work out better for the community.
So hearing you say that, and in thinking about some of the opposition ADUNs in Selangor, and most of those seats are in either semi-urban or rural constituency, and
we have one in PJ, just very nearby our BFM office.
And I suspect they get just as much requests as you do. And because the federal opposition has experienced this non-allocation from the government in terms of carrying out their duties, don't you think then, because you've experienced that, you should also allot these funds to the opposition state assemblymen in Selangor instead of reserving some but not giving all?
First of all, in the case of Selangor, we don't deprive constituencies. So, you know, we talk about every constituency gets the 800,000, they do get it. So if you look at, say, Kota Damansara, which is held by UMNO, the UMNO ADUN gets 200,000 and the state government coordinator for Kota Damansara gets 600,000 to start off with. They start off the year at that level. And as the year progresses, if the UMNO ADUN doesn't spend the money gets transferred to the coordinator to finish spending it. Now, when this was first done a few years ago, it was controversial because never have the opposition been given access to funds like this. So we were progressive. We were the first one to say we'll give. Some people would argue, like you just did, to give them the full 100%. Some people feel we should not give them at all because they are the enemy. Their aspirations are not in line with the state governments, and they would probably misuse or they would use the money to attack us rather than benefit the people. So there are a lot of different contradictory thoughts. I think what the state government finally decided was a fair compromise. Okay, we'll give you 25% of the funds. You start by demonstrating how you're going to use this 25% of the funds. Then we will take it from there. And if we see that if you spend the 25% of the funds, you spend 200,000 without issues, then maybe we look at making it 50% and then finally the full 100%. I think that's a natural progression. But looking at how it has gone the last two, three years, they're not spending the money on people. So let's say in the case of Kota Damansara, if there was no state government coordinator that was given the responsibility to manage the 600,000, all the resident associations in Kota Damansara will not be able to get the funding assistance. All the community activities in Kota Damansara constituency will not be able to get the funding assistance. All the welfare needs that needed to be met will not get the funding assistance because the UMNO ADUNs decided that we, on principle, are not going to spend the money. So I think it was a fair compromise. It was a transition period which they have proven to the world that they are not sincere in making it work. So I think the door is open to, the way I see it, I hope we go down there, that one day every assemblyman, regardless of opposition or government, gets the full same allocation. And that's the dream. But we are in the transitioning period at the moment.
We have a caller, Madam Chong, who has a question about allocation for seniors. Hello, Madam Chong, can you hear us?
Yeah, hello. I'm Madam Chong. Good afternoon to Razi.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello.
I would like to ask a question. I'm a senior citizen staying in a residence of Jalan Gasing. So I'm just wondering, do you allocate any financial aid to a senior citizen down here?
Okay, thank you, Madam Chong.
And I'm an OKU person. I'm a retired staff, you know.
Okay. All right. So when it comes to allocating money to individuals, what I think every adun has their own discretion and their own process in going about it. How we do things in Bukit Gasing is not on the basis of being elderly or not purely on the basis of being OKU, but rather on the basis of need. So if every request that comes in, one of my staff will conduct a house visit to assess the financial need of that situation. We will then get this person on any available government schemes that are suitable. And then, after that, if there's still any shortfall, then we step in to help financially from our location. So in most cases, it will start with the house visit first. So sometimes the elderly are well-to-do, and sometimes the OKU are well-to-do. So we as a policy and as principle, we don't disperse on the grounds of elderly, but rather on financial need. And that's how we do it here. But in terms of community activities, I'm very happy to support any community activities, whether it's geared at the senior citizens or it's geared at families or any age group. That's something I'm always open to. So we've received many, many proposals, requests for community activities in PJ coming through my office. And if you want to do something that you feel will benefit the Bukit Gasing constituency, you can feel free to contact me. Or if you're from a different constituency, you know, contact your respective adun and propose what you're going to do. So like next month, March 25th, we're going to do a veterans football tournament. This is in collaboration with the community. My office is supporting this activity. The community is putting it together, and my office is supporting it financially through the allocation. So, you know, all kinds of community activities can happen. Sometimes the events are proposed by my office, and sometimes the events are proposed by our residents.
So, coming back to the point that started this topic, so last month, the Selangor Pass claimed that funds for his party's adun has been freeze. And the other Pakatan aduns have come out to say that that's not true. There's usually a delay in, usually an administrative delay in late January, early February is when the funds are deposited into the accounts. But my question is it the MB's, the Menteri Besar's prerogative to do so? Is it, do the executive decide when and how this allocation is given?
These allocations are, yes, it is decided by the executive. They make the rules and they decide. It is not governed by, I mean, it's not something guaranteed in law that every adun would get this allocation every year. So the government makes a decision every year to, say, give this 800,000 ringgit allocation. So I think there may be two scenarios here. Number one, I think any adun that complains on the first week of January that your funds are not in yet, for some reason, that's not realized that over all the last few years, ever since you've been an adun, it's been like that. The money normally comes in by mid-January, nothing is frozen in the first week. But on the other hand, it seems that that's what the MB has decided, that now the past aduns want to behave like opposition, so they shall get the opposition treatment. And they're not totally cut off, because the formula in Selangor is that the opposition adun gets 200,000 and the state government coordinator controls 600,000.
So you have explained that as a compromise position or a situation where it's the best case scenario where you want to transition slowly.
It's a transitioning. It's not to say the best case scenario, it's a transitioning scenario.
If they, I guess, help fulfill the aspiration of the Selangor state government, then the allocation will be given. But I think there is an argument there about how they are the elected members. They shouldn't be conflated with the aspiration for the Selangor government. But I think that's a different argument altogether.
I think we got to separate some of these things. First of all, an adun is elected to make laws and make decisions at the state assembly. That is the primary role of legislators. And if you look around the world, that's the role. So say if you look at countries overseas, this whole idea of having an allocation does not exist in most countries. Congressmen in America are not given $800,000 to go and disperse for community events in America. This whole notion of the, it's the adult's responsibility to provide these services is not the core reason why you have elected members. Elected members are supposed to attend assembly meetings and then make decisions accordingly, vote yes or no on all the bills and laws on the table, to debate the laws that are being proposed, to carry the voice of the community in those debates. That's the primary role of ADUN. And in no way are these ADUNs have their hands tied in doing so. So in terms of our primary role as state assemblymen, we can carry that out. All ADUNs, regardless of opposition or government, have equal access to resources, such as their office staffing, such as your office funding, such as your, research. There is a research team at the state assembly that serves opposition as well as government members to help them prepare for all this legislative work that they have to do. So in terms of your legislative work, there is no discrimination in Selangor. I think what we're talking about is these allocations. We talked about making decisions on the Padang upgrades. Now, in the end of the day, the government that is elected in the office is being held responsible for the services that is being delivered. Everyone is holding the government of Azmin Ali responsible for the performances of the government machinery in delivering parks, roads, and all kinds of libraries and all kinds of other facilities. So there are, we talked about this a few minutes ago, whether should all the money be centered in the hands of the department that makes decisions, or should the money be separated into two decision makers. Majority of the money is in the hand of departments that make the decisions, but minority of the decision is with the coordinator or the government backbencher, ADUN. So then he makes decisions, okay, no, we've got 37 parks in this constituency. We can't upgrade all the time. So, you know, which one needs to go? So in the end of the day, the government is being held responsible for decisions like this. In the end of the day, the people are going to say, we're happy with what the government has done in the last 5 years, or we're not happy when they go to the ballot box. And that's the rationale why the coordinator should be, I mean, why the state government representatives carry out the execution of the government funds.
We have a WhatsApp text from Sharon who says that for a constituency like PJ, which is such high population density, there's only one public hospital. Is it possible to use this allocation to create one more hospital?
I unfortunately know, because we're talking about hundreds of millions of ringgits to build a hospital and millions of ringgit to run it every year. So this allocation is just simply too small to run a hospital. But I think that's on a side note to what we're talking today, it's something that I've been advocating for years. If you Google up and see the press stories, PJ lacks a general hospital. We have one in Shah Alam, we have one in Sungai Buloh, Serdang, KL, Klang. We don't have one in PJ. And for a city of 700,000 people, we really, really need one. And that's something that the Ministry of Health needs to fulfill for the residents of PJ. I mean, they're building hospitals. They build a number of hospitals every year, every 5 years. It's high time they give one to PJ.
I want to bring up a case in Penang where the Tanjung Bunga Assemblyman was barred from using his allocation of state funds because the state government claimed that they have lost confidence in him. So it's legal because this is at the discretion of the MB, but it doesn't seem fair because he's trying to help his or rather conduct activities for his constituency. So
in that case, I don't think his constituency suffers from that decision. He suffers from the decision, but not his constituency, because the government has made it very clear, the Penang government has made it very clear that they are transferring the decision-making authority over the 200,000 ringgit from the ADUN to the Member of Parliament for that area. So I think Zairil, as the Member of Parliament for that area, was legitimately elected by the same residents, and state government has just decided that, you know what, from now onwards, Zairil, you make the decisions on the 200,000, you decide which community activities it goes to, you decide what upgrades get done with this money, because we can't do a lot with 200,000, we can't do everything with 200,000. Someone's got to make the call.
Is it fair for the executive to use this as a tool to keep party members in line or elected reps in line?
I don't see why anyone needs to feel that they need to keep in line. If you need to do something, you do something. If you need to say something, you need to champion something, you do it. If you are going to...
But there'll be consequences.
If you are going to say that for the sake of that 200,000 that I'm not going to voice out, then I think there's something fundamentally wrong with that particular person to be a state assemblyman. I really don't think one should feel in that, you know, it's not a great loss if you don't have this allocation. Now, like I said, this allocation is what you disperse to the community. It's what, it's not what you use for yourself. It's what you disperse to the community. So even if you lose that allocation, your community does not lose it. Either somebody else makes the decisions for that constituency, not you. But you as a legislator do not lose any of your legislative privileges. You as a legislator do not lose any of your legislative assistance or resources in that process. So in that way, what you lose is the ability to decide what Padang gets upgrade or, you know, do we help the local library do an upgrade and things like that. So to me, I would never sacrifice my point of view. I would never sacrifice my argument, my principle for the sake of the allocation. And I don't think many Ardens do that. Now, I've been a very vocal critic of my own government. I think I'm not the only one, but I'm definitely one of the top five most vocal critics of my own government. And I've never had my allocation yanked from me because of that. And I think many others will not.
What's the biggest policy you disagreed with the Azmin Ali government?
Maybe not so much the Azmin Ali government, but with Tan Sri Khalid, the KEDEX, and we went up to the point where we went openly against him on that.
Okay. I guess let's move on a little bit to the allocations that Selangor MPs receive. How much do they receive?
So MPs in Selangor receive 300,000 ringgit from the Selangor government, once again for the same purposes.
Okay. And this hybrid system that we have of the local assemblymen, state assemblymen, having to juggle between their legislative duties as well as their local government and town planning duties, it's special to this Malaysian context. And is there anywhere in the world that has a system like this? Because in doing some reading for this, Singapore does not have local state assembly because of their size. The MPs are the one who gets channeled the funds. And we have read about allegations of abuse, how councils who are in the opposition are not as well-funded as the rest. In England, there are no states. Everything's managed by city councils. In the US, they have the congressional system and the state government is devolved from the federal government. Are those systems better? Are you happy with a hybrid system like this? Would you like to move to something that are given by this example?
I think in where we are today, it's a toss-up. There is merit to have someone else also making decisions. And a lot of times, the state assemblyman and the MP is the center of request. We are the ones elected by the people. We are the ones that interact the most with the people, especially if you compare with head of departments in various government departments. And sometimes this allocation helps ease the pressure of the decision-making. I mean, when something needs to be done, you can just get it done. Or when there just isn't enough resources at the department level, you can get things done. So in that way, it's... It can be a good thing for a developing country, but maybe once we move down to the path where we have local government elections, I fully support the reintroduction of local government elections, and if we can get that back in Malaysia, and people are then closer with local governments, and local governments are more connected with the people because of the election process and because of the accountability process, then I think we can slowly wind down this constituency funds, because the constituency funds, basically you are an alternate to the existing government machinery to get things done that the government machinery could get done. But in an imperfect society, in a growing democracy, in a developing nature of this country, there are times where it's good to have an MP or an Adun who can step in to help where the government machinery has shortcomings. And that's why the funds is there. And the funds is no secret. Anyone can go to the district office and take a look at what each MP or ADUN has spent the money on. Anyone can request for this information. We have freedom of information system in place in Selangor. So anyone can fill up that form and get these details out. So there's no secret there. And he's talking about procurement, like the appointment of contractors. It still goes through the same process, the same government process of appointing the contractor. The difference is I decide that this particular project gets done. I decide that we want to install park benches in this park. I mean, the ADUN gets to decide that we are going to repair the drainage in this taman. But the contractor procurement system, it's still the same system as what the local governments have in place. So you don't get to do things in your own whims and fancies in that sense.
Mm. But because given that the context that we've inherited, if the state assemblymen do not have any responsibility when it comes to town planning, would that render their role almost moot? Because you have the local, if there's local elections and local councillors are the one making town planning decisions, mm-hmm. What role would the Selangor State Assembly play in enacting state laws?
No, then we'll just focus on state laws. I think that's plenty enough to do at that level.
Yeah. Any final message on your financial allocation?
Well, I think now that I think even more people are aware of this, this is something that members of the public can tap into, especially for those who have community needs. You can approach your respective MP or your respective assemblyman. This is not new. This has been around for decades. It's not just in Selangor, but it's nationwide. And I think for those of you who've already known this, you pretty much know everything that we've discussed tonight. But for this afternoon, but for those who are new to this, that's something that you can tap into. On my side, we did do a shout out a couple of times over the last few years to get proposals, and we've gotten a lot of new ideas coming in, and we're happy to support community events. So I'm happy to do things, support initiatives that benefits the community at large. So if you have ideas, you know, it's always good to hear fresh ideas. Contact me, contact your respective ADUN. My funds is focused for the constituency of Bukit Gasing, but wherever you are, you have an ADUN over there that can help you as well.
I have one final question for you. We're going into a competitive Selangor State election. Is there a way for the Selangor State Assembly to make this allocation a law so that if in the event that the government change hands, the opposition ADUNs would not be shortchanged in terms of how funds for communities are allocated?
Yes, it's possible to make it law, but if, let's say, the government changes hands, at that time, the new government can change the law, because laws are made and changed with 51% of the vote.
But so the Pakatan has 2/3 majority now.
Yes.
Why not do it now?
Well, I think that's something to consider. I think that's something to progress. I think we have done the most of any state assembly in the country in terms of legislative reforms. We have select committees that we have talked about in previous shows. We have officially given extra resources to the opposition head. We have appointed the opposition head as the chairman of the PAC. We have given allocations to the opposition members. I think we have the record of having the most reforms, the most progressive state assembly. I think there's still more that needs to be done. You know, you guys will keep us on our toes. So in the next term, we have many more reforms to add on to the list. And I think that's something that definitely can be considered.
Out to the poll is still open for the next 12 minutes. So far, we have 25 votes. 40% of you think that the financial allocation is a good step or good thing for ADUN to carry out their work. 60% of you have thought or thinks that this is open to potential abuse. If you'd like to continue with this discussion, please follow us on Facebook, like us at BFM The Bigger Picture. If you have a question or if you like to make a comment, you could make it there. And if you've missed any part of this interview, you can catch the podcast via our BFM app, available now on the App Store and Google Play. Rajiv, thank you once again.
Hey, it's a pleasure.
You've been listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.